Commissioners Court for Monday, February 10th, 2025 at 9 a.m. begins here.
Okay, this is the meeting of Franklin County Commissioners Court of an open regular meeting on February 10th, at 9 a.m. here in the courthouse in Mount Vernon. We'll start with the invocation. God, lead us in work.
Father, we come to you in prayer this morning. We do thank you, Lord, for all your many blessings, Lord. Thank you for the gift of another day of life. Thank you for the opportunity to serve this county. I pray that you give us wisdom and understanding today, dear Lord God, as we consider the county's business, guide and direct our conversation and our decisions. We just thank you for where we live, the state we live in, and for this country, Lord. We just pray for all of our leaders on the federal, state, and local levels, all of our first responders, Lord, police and firemen. We pray that you bless all of them. And we continue to pray peace on this earth, Lord. Pray for Israel and all of our allies across this world as well. Bless and protect us all. We ask it all in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. All right.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Texas flag.
Honor the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to the Texas, one state under God, one and indivisible.
Okay. Public comments. Anybody have public comments? Anybody? If not, we'll go to agenda item number one. Consider take action to approve the minutes from January 27, 2025, regular session. So moved.
Second.
Got a motion second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? The ayes have it. Number two, audit claims against the county and authorize their payments.
Okay. The amount submitted for your approval is $297,938.85.
Okay, any questions over that? Motion to...
I move to pay off claims with the county.
Okay, got a motion second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, the ayes have it. Number three, approve the monthly reports. You may have got a copy of that. You just approve that. Anybody have any questions on it? I need a motion to approve those.
Second.
Okay, a motion second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, the ayes have it. Number four, record certificate of course completion of Texas Open Meetings Act, training from Melissa Clawson, Branton Carr, Scott Newsom, Jerry Cooper, Marla White, and Landon Ramsey. Had Landon ready for that. So. Oh, that's right. He's re-elected. That's right. Just for him. Okay. So noted on that. Number five, record certificates course completion of the Texas Publication Information Act training. Melissa Blossom, Brandon Carr, Scott Newsom, Ricky Jones, and Landon Ramsey. He did get that one. That is so noted. Number six, record certificates of course completion for cybersecurity awareness training for Dustin French, Ellen Jaggers, Jessica Sparza, Katie Elliott, Laura Rose, Marla White, Michael Lemons, Robert Morse, Susanna Sturr, Michelle Maynard, Beth Hedges, Jesse Valenzuela, Angie Jackson, Paris Tillery, Robert Zinn, Chris Van Ark, Brandon Carr, Marie Reeder, Max Kennedy, and Janet White, Anna Ankrum, Whitney McCall, Chandra Blaylock, and Jennifer Cooper. My goodness, we got a bunch of them. Did that that time,
didn't I? I didn't say your name.
No, my name. I'll wait for Bay. Number seven, consider and take action to approve TxDOT grant for routine airport maintenance program. You want to talk about that one?
Well, I think we've talked it today,
haven't we? Well, we have.
You have the grant. Particular. Isn't that the 100,000?
The reimbursable is 100,000. That's the money that's allocated for that airport. All we did is pretty much sign up for it, flying away.
I think this one's the ramp program.
Yeah, the ramp.
Which is a reimbursable up to 100,000.
Yeah.
Now maybe you can
10% match.
Yes.
I saw something about $111.
Yes. $111.
I'm going to get to all these course completions.
It's a gym
that happens. Hold on. Okay. All right, Texas Department of Transportation grant for routine airport maintenance. Here we go. This grant made between Texas Department of Transportation on behalf of the state of Texas and the county of Franklin. This grant agreement to be entered above state and sponsors shown above the authority granted in compliance.
Second, the third to last page has a general, amount, the state amount would be $100,000, the estimated cost of $111,111.
Yes, there it is. Yeah, general maintenance, $111,111.11. State share, $100,000, so the state's, I guess our part would be $11,111.11, correct?
Yep.
Okay.
I move we approve the grant.
Okay, we got a motion and a second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, the ayes have it. Number eight, consider take action to approve 2025 county budget amendments to fund compensation, supplies, and capital expenses for Franklin County Volunteer Fire Departments. Mark?
The gentleman should have a copy of it. Basically, the three line items at this point. For contract pay, for call, I'm sure the logistics will work out later, but I thought we needed to go get the budget amendment taken care of. Supplies and capital purchases, total $350,000.
I move we approve the budget amendment.
Second.
Okay, got a motion, and a second. Is there any discussion? Anybody need questions on this or anything? Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, the ayes have it. That'll be easy. All right, number nine, consider take action to approve revisions to the Franklin County Sports Complex League Rental Lease Agreement. You want to talk about that, Scotty? We're gonna have a meeting Thursday at 4:30, so they can come and talk to us about this. Do we want to?
I'd say table it until we get through Thursday. Both of them at the next one.
Okay.
Judge, I do have a comment on that.
Okay.
The county owns that property currently is exempt. If you were to enter into a lease agreement, that could potentially be the property that's put back on the tax roll. So if you're considering that lease agreement, make sure you include a fair chunk for the estimated tax.
Second, what was the last part again?
Make sure you include taxes. So if you guys lease that to a company that's using it for profit, it's going to become taxable property and the county will be responsible for the tax to the other taxing units.
Yes.
So if you guys enter an agreement, I'm saying you might
so, want to consider that. So when we lease the airport out there and somebody brings a nice show out there and they make it for their profit, do we got to pay taxes on that too? Same kind of thing? If somebody leases the airport.
If they lease the whole airport and they're running a business and making it for profit.
So we just need to make sure they do not do it for profit.
It's the community hall out there, so that would actually fall into that too.
Say that again.
It's our community hall. We rent the community hall at the airport.
Not exactly. So the county would have income from that, but as long as that income is dispersed, I don't think you have an issue there renting it out once or twice. But if you go into a contract and you lease property to a company that occupies that space and uses it full time, if they produce income, then that property would become taxable for the county. Or it's not for the county, but the county would owe taxes to the other taxing units. So what I'm trying to encourage you to do is make sure you're aware of that and include those tax payments into your rental agreement.
So we lease it out to a company and say we, in a year's time, we do away with the lease. How much trouble is it to, just automatically go back to the county? Or does
it? The ownership would not change from the county, but the tax liability that the county would have to the other tax units would go back to being public property and being exempt.
Just right away, or would it take a period of time to do that?
January 1 would be the effective date every year. So for this year, January 1, it would be exempt. Let's say there's a contract that started March the 1st. As of March the 1st, that property would become taxable. The exemption would be prorated off. And then as soon as the lease ended, the exemption would be prorated back on the effective date of that removal.
Unless it's a 501(c)(3), correct?
Correct.
Like baseball. So if this company that we're, if they're a 501(c), if they give so much back to the county, they...
Yeah, if it's a, if you're leasing it to a charitable organization, and they're not for profit, or even a primarily charitable organization, then it would still, the property, the whole property would still be exempt.
Okay.
It's just a for-profit company.
Correct.
It's a for-profit.
I just got a question on this. Is this for that, or is this just the...
I think this is baseball.
This is just the lease agreement for the baseball, for what they're doing out there right now.
It's what we do.
It's just the general lease agreement, this one is, the one that is on here. But this was on here before we actually started that.
But there is one I want to look at, just like y'all know, number 8. I would like to specify that they could, nothing no bigger than an ATV could be used on the fields.
Yes, yes, yes. I mean, that's what I was kind of wanting to talk to them about also.
But I agree that probably the flag would meet on the...
Yeah, let's just table this. We got a motion in a second, right? Table it, or do you...
No, I make a motion to table it till Thursday, or till the next commission meeting.
Okay, we got a motion in a second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, the ayes have it. Number 11, discuss onsite sewage facility. Oh, I'm sorry. Consider take action to approve revisions of the concrete paving at West Annex. We're Bob, Barry Bob, come on up.
Did we get a call?
I talked to him both this morning, and as of 9/11, nothing. So I would just have to take it.
All right, thank you, Bob. All right, motion to table number 10.
Still moving.
Okay, is there a second?
Second.
Got a motion in a second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, the ayes have it. Number 11, discuss onsite sewage facility OSSF compliance issues. Max, oh, there you are, you're right there.
I'm trying to get y'all out of here. If you remember, a couple of months ago, I came in, just kind of gave you a little heads up that we were having some trouble with some installers, and I'm finding some things that they weren't complying with by the law. And it went, I visited with them, and they started okay. I mean, they started doing what they were supposed to. But here lately, I've got several installers that'll bring a permit, and it'll go into the pen and file, and a couple of weeks, couple of months later, we check our pen and file, and I go out there and look, and it's been installed, and there's no notice to me. So I don't know if those systems were put in right or not. I called TCEQ and asked them how they handle stuff like that, and basically TCEQ sent me a list of everybody in our region and said, here, call them, see what they do. We're not going to do anything about it. So I called a couple of the other counties and the DRs that represent those counties, and they write a citation. It's a Class C citation. There's some conflict. I'm going to have the judge look at it to see what it is. TCEQ says it's a fine up to $200. Class C in state of Texas is up to $500, so I'm going to see what we do. And kind of, I may have to issue a few citations to these folks and get them going again. Under Texas Health and Safety Code, Section 366.054, it says they may not, they shall not do any kind of installation until they get a permit and it's approved by us. So it would be a unauthorized installation is what that ticket would be called. I went to several of their offices and looked them face to face, eye to eye, and said, hey, I understand you have time constraints, you have weather to deal with, you have every permit that we get in our office, I either go that day or the next morning and either approve it or disapprove it for them. So, I mean, I'm not holding them up. So I try to work with them. If you dig on down a little bit into the next section about inspections, it says that I have 2 days after they complete it to go inspect it before they cover it up and use it. I don't do that. I try to go that same day if they let me know. If you have a little bit of rain on an empty tank sitting in the hole, it floats out. So we don't want that to happen either. So I'm bending over backwards trying to make it right for them. But the ones that are being stubborn with me, I'm fixing to get in their pocket. So you may get a complaint. You may hear something. You'll know what that's all about. I'm also having some folks that'll call the office and ask what the process is to get a permit, what you have to have to get their septic system done. We tell them, never hear from them again. 3 months later, I go by the house and the system's put in. So I have some options for that too. I've visited face to face with a few people. The options are, it says in the health and safety code, it shall not be used till it's inspected. At the worst case scenario, I can tell them to dig it up. Let me look at it. Of course, I don't want to go that far. But if I find some that's in your precinct, I'll visit with you personally and let you know who those folks are. So you get that phone call, you'll say, hey, well, this is why, and this is what's going on. So now basically,
What's the health and safety code number again?
It starts with section 366.054. That's the notice to installers. The next section, 055, talks about inspections.
Okay.
And then the next one, 56, talks about the approval and on-site. So it's all right there together. I have this printed out. I can leave y'all a copy in your box for you if y'all want to look at it.
Sure. Well, here's my deal. The installers, if the installer does it twice, here's kind of my recommendation. If they do it twice after you've already told them not to do it, dig it up. You know, I can understand going in there, and I can, no, they know better. They know better the first time, but.
But is that on the installer, or is that on the homeowner?
Well, the installer's going to get the permit, correct?
Well, the installer, really and truly, all I can do is make a complaint to them at TCEQ, and their response is, if we choose to investigate that, which they're not going to, basically we're putting a homeowner out.
Gotcha.
But if you, like the judge said, if you dig one up, people will get the word that this installer's not doing it right, and maybe they won't use them anymore. I'm trying to avoid that if I can. I don't want the homeowner to get to that expense and have to dig it up and not use their system.
Reiterate, you said
it may happen.
But we're not behind. We're not behind on having people having to wait for all this. No. You said,
I do them. I mean,
if you're caught up and nobody's having to wait,
that's what I
like. Dallas County, you got to wait 6 months to
exactly
get it done.
Exactly. I understand these guys are business people. They have weather to contend with. They have scheduling, getting their stuff brought to them. I mean, they got constraints to get their construction done. I mean, I get that, and that's why I go the very day or the next morning and get those done. Now, if they bring it on a Thursday afternoon, it'll be Monday before I go do it, or I may go do it after court on Fridays, you know. But I'm not behind on any of that. We get them real quick. Brandon and I, we work together. If I can't make it, he will.
They start calling us and asking questions. That's
I just wanted you guys to know, you start getting those questions and why this is happening, this is why.
Well, this is kind of related. We got any messages back on our dumping sewer out? Speaking of raw sewage, I don't know. Have we heard anything from them over there?
I hadn't heard a word from them. I usually get a letter. You get that same letter, I think, at the same time, but I hadn't heard anything from them. And they won't tell me anything when I call down there and ask them in Austin. They just say it's pending. Okay. But as far as I know, they hadn't been back out there either. The neighbors hadn't called me and let me know that they're still doing that. So if I'm just giving you guys a heads up, that's all it is. If there's somebody in your particular precinct that's having trouble, I'll let y'all know personally which one it is and why. And then if you get that phone call, you may not, but if you do, you'll have some information.
All right. Thank you, Matt. All right, number 12. Receive information on delinquent taxes. We have three representatives here from Weinbarger, Goggin, Blair, and Sampson. Who wants to go first?
I'll take that responsibility. We'll pass this out. This is the report. Some of the slides are going to be a little awkward because this is made for me to put up on the projector. Also, my printer started running out of ink.
We're good.
It's going to be good. Well, good morning, Judge and Commissioners. Thanks for the chance to come. We like to give a report about every year on how we've been, what we've been doing the last year as far as doing tax collections and the programs that we put into place. We can skip over that first part. I did want to point out most of you guys know most of the folks that are on your team. These are all the attorneys in the Northeast Texas offices of Linebacher. So it wouldn't be out of the question for any one of these folks to touch the Franklin County cases at some point or another. The ones you're going to be seeing the most, obviously, are myself and Richard Grant, who's here with me. And if y'all know Jill Major, probably too. She's here in Mount Vernon most of the time. And she's the one that has the most direct contact with the taxpayer. I did want to point out, and again, some of you are newer and may not have heard of this, but we, our firm has been doing delinquent tax collections for almost 50 years in the state of Texas. We do other things as well, though. So you can all see us only for this. We also collect for courts, do delinquent court fines and fees that have accrued for the JPs, for the county court, and so forth. We represent schools, cities, ESDs, whatever government entity has government collections, we would represent them. But we also, so as part of that, we do all of your tax-related litigation. If the county is sued on a tax-related matter, you guys would have the choice to either ask your county attorney to do it or have us do it if it's related to any sort of tax challenge or anything like that. We also work diligently at the legislative level to promote whatever interest our clients have. So we're very active in the school lobby, and we're also very active in making sure that counties hold on to what little authority they have as part of our legislative program. And then we represent appraisal districts for property value studies. Anytime there's gonna need to be some sort of an audit or appeal related to the comptroller's values as they pertain to the local values, we would handle that too. So another thing I like to do before we go through the specifics is give everybody kind of a timeline. So the tax collection process takes 2 years from start to finish, typically. And that's assuming that everything goes straight, goes clean, and doesn't linger in terms of long-term litigation. That could happen because we're having difficulty finding owners, we're having difficulty making sure that the property that's listed on the tax rolls is actually a piece of property that is correctly listed. But I'll just start real quick as a summary. So January 1 of year 1, that's the date that the values are set, the ownership is set. So basically your tax liability, your taxpayer's tax liability accumulates January 1 of year 1. Then usually during the month of April, sometime in the spring, businesses are having to put in their rendition. So in Texas, business personal property values, because we have to pay personal property if you own a business, have the ability to render their own estimated values. And then the appraisal district can come in and investigate and determine if that's not sufficient, or maybe sometimes that's overstated. But needless to say, that's something that each business has to do every year. Finally, in the end of July 25th, that's when the appraisal roll gets certified. Theoretically, that's when all the protests have happened, and it rarely ever works that way, but that's supposed to be enough time for all this to happen. And then during August and September, that's when you guys are working on your budgets, because you've got kind of an estimate of what the tax revenue is going to be. And then you have to get ready so that they can send out tax statements, which is what Melissa does October 1st, or as close thereto as she can, depending on if the appraisal roll takes a while longer to certify, or some of the entities have worked their budget on today. So once the tax bills go out in October, taxpayers have until the end of January to pay without penalties and interest. Now the tax bill is misunderstanding. Some people think that the taxes aren't due until January 31st. The taxes are due when the taxpayer receives the bill, but they have until the end of January to pay it before the penalties and interest start to accrue. Then on February 1st of year 2, that's when that's your delinquency date for almost all the properties. And from there, an additional penalty starts to attach. And it goes up every month that it goes to, that it still remains delinquent. Then come July 1st, that's when all of the delinquent accounts that haven't been paid timely or during that first period where they're only responsible for a portion of the penalties, July 1st, additional penalties hit And that's how we get paid. It's an additional amount that the legislature's authorized to be attached to the delinquent accounts. So all the services that we provide are cost-free to the county or to the budget. It all gets collected by the people that are delinquent. All right, so the next slide, it's page six. So keep in mind that when I say the 2024 delinquent term, that's the taxes that have accrued from the 2023 collection year. Okay, so all of this, the dollars are almost a year old before we ever get. Rollover this time, or turnover, we call it different things, was a little over $200,000 this year. That is about a 15% increase over the prior year's turnover. And there's multiple reasons that could be. Fewer people paying their taxes on time. It could be that the values just generally went up, which is most likely what this was a result of. The next slide, it was going to be real fancy, where it just changed that one portion on the right. That's why it looks like it's the same slide. Your levy increased by almost 10%. About $600,000, you guys are aware of that. You had to determine that when you set the budget. But as you can compare these two numbers and see that either by way of increased value, which is again probably the case, or by a reduction in the amount of dollars that got paid timely, your delinquent accounts are up by an amount more than the levy. So that's usually an interesting statistic to look at. All right, so now on to what we've actually been doing. Throughout the last year, now, what I'm reporting is everything that happened from July 1st of 23 to June 30th of 24. So we're talking about 23 and before taxes, right? We were able to file 40 lawsuits. We do the letters and the efforts to collect without suing people as long and as hard as we can. We like to pride ourselves on being empathetic and compassionate to people in their financial situations. So we work with them at every step of the way to try to come up with some kind of payment agreement that they can live with that keeps them from losing their property. When that fails, we have to file lawsuits on a small portion of the accounts. We did that on 40 accounts this year. We disposed of 31 during that same time frame. Probably not the same as the 40 that we filed. These are 31 cases that were probably filed before and have just come to maturity at this point. You have 62 current lawsuits pending for delinquent taxes. That number includes 12 accounts where the taxpayer has paid all the taxes, but they have not paid all the court costs that came as a result of our having to file a lawsuit. So we'll go ahead and get a judgment for that amount. So that way they can come in and finish paying. Now that is money that goes directly to the account. That's district clerk money. And we don't get paid on that portion of it. We mailed about a little over 5,000 letters during this year. A lot of them were the same accounts over and over again because every mail piece that comes out, we whittle down the number of delinquent dollars. So this week, I ran this report this past weekend. So as of now, basically, this is a picture on page 9 of the status of your delinquent taxes. You can see that more than half of them are in what we call active collections. That's when we're doing the letters. That's when we're trying to make every effort possible to collect these dollars without resorting to having to file a lawsuit. The rest are, you know, significant percentages. About 18% of your delinquent accounts are in, this is by dollars, so when I say accounts, this is dollars. 18% of your dollars are tied up in this lawsuit right now. A little over 1% represent accounts where the taxpayer had filed bankruptcy, so most likely we will get paid on most of those accounts. We just have to wait. Same thing with the other red one, it's the deferral amounts. So almost 18% of your tax dollars that are delinquent are tied up in deferrals. Meaning someone's over 65 or disabled, they are allowed to defer their taxes until that deferral is lifted, which generally is when they die. And those are accounts that we cannot do anything about. We can't fix the property, we can't talk to. We have to basically stay collections until those deferrals are lifted. And as a result, we've got another chart on the next page, page 10. This is the status of your accounts that are actually collectible at this time. And you can see how that changes the pie chart significantly. We were also able to sell or set 17 properties for sale over this collection reporting period. This doesn't mean that we sold 17 properties. It means the 17 were actually set for sale and were either paid in advance before the sale, pulled from the sale for some other reason, for like a payment agreement or something else, or actually got sold. But those 17 accounts led to the collection of a little over $45,000. There's also, here's where I like to point out, that section on the right there, that's our sales website. If you go to our firm website, which is lgbs.com, we have a section where taxpayers and clients and anybody else in the public can go to pull up county by county what properties are available for sale. And generally, if it's set for sale anytime in the upcoming months, it would list that as well and tell you when and where. So you can do that for Franklin County or any other county in Texas. All right, page 12, that's your top 20 delinquent accounts for that for this past reporting period. And if I showed you this July 1st, it would have all been uncollected or generally been uncollected. So this is what has happened over the past collection year. Most of these have gotten paid. Of the ones that weren't paid, you see, five of them are in deferral. The ones that have also, the suit has been filed and they're making payments, that represents, again, we're trying to make every effort to allow these folks to catch up without having to burden them with the taking of the property. So that was a lot of information in a very short period of time, but if you have any questions, I'm happy to address. Put Richard, mine, and Jill's email there on the end if y'all ever need to reach out to us. And I think most of y'all have my cell phone. If you don't,
Melissa, she's hiding behind Richard. Didn't you say we were up to 84% collected? Okay. Should be probably more.
Oh, yeah. We were only down a few, not bad. Though your quarter pays are still due, so that'll boost. And then they'll do 933.07s in May. That'll boost the collections. And then when I close out, they'll collect July 1st. So we should be 98. I don't think we get over 99%, do we, Mom? It's about not, we're close, but.
It's always usually about 98.7.
Yeah. Yeah.
What did we set our limit, 94?
What
did we set our limit at, 94?
We budgeted at 98%.
Yeah.
98%. Mm-hmm. I think it's still
usually 98.7.
We've got a upcoming court docket on April 11th. So notices should be going out in the next week or so. Law requires us to send out a 45-day notice. And as a general rule, a quarter of everything that gets sent out, someone will come in and pay before court. So you'll see a little flurry of payments between now and April 11th. And then there'll be a percentage between that and the sale that'll come, and that'll be a little flurry of payments. I found that there's about four or five types of people that wind up paying their taxes. One is when they get our letter, they go, "Oh, I really need to pay this." You know, each letter we send out gets a little more stern. More than half of the people we deal with get that. I don't know the exact number of it anymore, but the majority of it gets done with pay with that. And then there's a large percentage you'll see on that top 20 that once we file a suit and the sheriff knocks on their door, they realize, "Oh, I'm really about to lose my house," and they run in and pay before we get any further into the suit. But like Wade said, the whole time we're trying to talk them into paying. We're calling them. We're doing what we can to get a hold of them. Once we get ready for judgment, there's another group of people that'll come and pay it. And then there's the holdouts that wait until they see their name in the newspaper or somebody knocks on their door and says, "Hey, did you know your property is about to get sold?" and then they wind up coming in paying. By the time we get to a sale, most people who are interested at all in saving their property have kind of paid it. Sales are fun, they're flashy, they see a lot of stuff, but that's usually the stuff that people can't determine if they ever really owned it, or if they've got so many heirs together that they can't come in and agree to make a payment on it. So with the upcoming docket, the vast majority of what we have on getting ready for that docket will be, hopefully, should be paid by then. And you'll see that activity coming in.
Y'all see anything in the legislature coming down the hole fixing it by this?
There's a lot of stuff filed, but what's going to survive is another story.
Yeah, the only thing that I think has the potential to pass, and probably will, is they're going to likely raise the homestead exemption again for the school taxes. But that shouldn't have much effect on them.
They're trying hard to do away with public schools in Texas.
Yeah, they are. Also, Melissa mentioned the 3307 letters. That's what we send out in May, which basically informs them of the impending extra penalty that comes if you don't pay by July. And that's 20%, that's 15%. So when they get that letter, a lot of them will pay during that couple of months period before they turn it over to the attorneys. Because they know that as soon as July 1st hits, it's another 15% on top of everything else.
Isn't that funny? The state never does anything about any other tax but ours. Right. In the schools, they go lefty, but they don't lower gas tax or any of their taxes and this tax. It's always somebody else's. But that's who y'all elected. So that's what you got. Anybody got any questions? Hey, before we talk about discussion, let's go back to the our annex, Bob. Anybody got any other questions for you? Mm-hmm. Thank you, Richard.
As always, if you need us, just okay. Touch them.
Oh, they let me know. Sorry.
Sorry.
Before you get out here.
Okay, hey, this is kind of under public discussion items, and we had an agenda item on it. You want to go ahead and kind of go over, have y'all seen what the three options were that got the concrete for the parking lot? We went over some of y'all went out there here, anything. I think right now we have the concrete here, right around the building, correct?
Correct, we have parking and sidewalk.
And then option number one is the corners and the driveway that comes back out to the road right here in yellow here. That thing in yellow up there is, mm-hmm. is that an option two is when you're coming out further from the front to that little ditch, I guess, right there, correct? And option three is all that plus the corner for Ricky's bill, cutting that corner for the trucks and stuff to go across there. You can probably do that.
Which one's the cheapest option?
One. Yeah, what prompted all this, I'm gonna say 3 months ago roughly, we were talking about trying to separate the general traffic flow from the West Annex tax office and justice area from the jail's parking area. That they were afraid that people would be parking in both places, going back and forth, and that Ricky's report wasn't going to be having a parking over on this sidewalk. That's what prompted all this. If we don't want to do any of this, it works just like it was before. We don't have to spend any extra money. It's going to all be recycled asphalt, which is what the original drawing showed anyway. So it can stay just like it is. You don't do a thing. And this could all be done next week, next year, 10 years from now. That part's not going to change. We're going to be tying into existing concrete. We'll be tying in on both ends, basically. Just a little bit different verbally at that time. So that's what brought this about, was trying to divert the traffic where the general public had to decide, do I go left or do I go right? And if they go left, they go into the jail area, And Ricky's talking about moving his fence over and putting a secured gate there. If they go back, they go into the annex. I'd put a little landscape on there to make sure of time. But that's what brought all this about. We got to looking at when we did the dark there Wednesday and Thursday, and also when we talked to the people about putting on asphalt paving instead of recycled paving, that most of the water from the jail parking area, which is recycled now, goes down in front of the West Annex building. And it's got a dirt flowing through there where water runs. If you do that in Millings, it'll probably keep washing off. It's washed off now, and probably just keep washing off. The asphalt people told us even if you did it in asphalt, it wouldn't hold up over a period of time. They said the best thing to do is in concrete. So that's part of this option one, is to put that flue area in concrete. Then if we do that, that will be like a low water crossing where the driveway goes up into the annex. It'll come basically off of the existing drive, come and go up to the annex building, have a low water crossing, and then go up to park. And with option one, that's where all the concrete would be. So you would have Millings on the left side and the right side of your driveway. It's going to look kind of hokey. Will it function? Yeah, it'll function. It just doesn't function as well. So that's why I put the second option. If you're going to do all that other than concrete, here's an option that might look better, is to put those two driveway areas to the left and the right, just the front of it. It's not on the side, just the front. Put that in concrete as well. Overall, it'll be a uniform look. It'll hold up better. You're talking about a little over 2,200 square feet more paving. Ballpark, $18,000 for those two pieces. Ballpark. When we looked at this 3 months ago, whenever it was, we did a budget number of around $33,000, I think. And that was going to be putting 6 foot of concrete down the existing driveway from where you turn in to the jail on the east side of the drive all the way up to the end of it, increase the width by 6 feet, and then do the drive up into to the West Annex building. That was roughly, if I remember, $33,000, $35,000, something like that. If we do just option one on here, it will be less than that. I can't tell you what, my bill feels 20,000, 25,000. So it will be less than the 33. If we do all of them, it's going to be a little bit more than 33, probably pushing 40,000.
So 7,000 more, we can do it all?
Well, no. Yes, 7,000 more than
what I'm talking about.
Yes.
But it'll still be, 6 foot. Right. But it'll still be a $40,000 change order to the county.
Right.
So whatever our original budget was, it would increase that by $40,000 of money that was not in the original bid. Does that make sense?
This money is just money.
Just looks.
Well, it always
looks
upgraded as your
best skills. Yeah. Yeah. And that's what I'm saying.
We've already had some of the change orders and stuff that kind of moved us over.
Now, if you don't want to do anything, it functions just like it, and I'll let you keep it.
So we can always make changes going forward. And then we can always make changes going forward if you need to.
Yeah. Want to do it next year or 5 years, won't affect how it's done, right. Just affect the cost.
Right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Who knows what the cost will be?
Right. True. It ain't going down, is it?
Never happened. But you never know. Now, concrete's up to $135
if you are running out of money on what we're going to
do. And I know when we was up right the other day, too, me and Jerry kind of looked at it. I think we can take part of this water right here and run by. It's running right here, right behind the building. We're going to have to move it over, make it run to that ditch. but we're probably going to wind up having to take out one of the concrete.
Well, that's what, that's the next thing I was going to ask.
But that's going to be right in the middle of the driveway.
Well, some of y'all could go get it because that one up behind the door, Melissa's door, as I call it, that's going to be in the way. That's the only one we're going to.
That's the only one. We're able to save all that, we're saying.
So if y'all get something in your heart one day.
Well, you wasn't up there Thursday when we was doing it. I think my guys was a little bit afraid to carry a backhoe around there one more time.
It was pumping real bad. But he kept dumping dirt to drive on the whole time, and he was still tracking in that deep.
Yeah, they said they didn't want to go around there again.
But
we even had to stop the skid steer.
One time we talked about just going ahead and putting the recycled asphalt up against the tree, it'll die. There's no place to build that. So it's to move it now or in 2 years, take the chance of dying, falling into the building, whatever.
Well, just make sure it does, make sure you don't let it fall backwards before you move it.
But the one good thing, I mean, it's really nice pecan wood.
Good cooking wood, isn't it?
Yeah, it can be used or any type of barbecue and whatever, so they will cook. I would say just pull it back and burn it in the burn pile, you know, cut it up without somebody cutting it up, can be useful.
Thank you, Bob.
Want me a little bit about schedule?
Oh, yeah, yeah, go ahead.
You know, last week we had a good week, still going good this week. They are starting to paint cabinets. Well, actually started priming them last week, or not priming them, prepping. We'll start priming today or tomorrow. They're going to work through the weekend and should have all the cabinets painted and finished by Monday next week. All of our doors and frames are in. They're painting the doors today. We'll go back and paint the frames on those. Televisions and mounting brackets are all here. We'll get those painted this week. They started on the wood trim inside the courtroom. We should get that finished this week. My ceramic tile guy is right now scheduled to come in on Wednesday to do the tile on the outside porches. And we'll do one porch at a time and work around it. But we can't obviously cut them all off. I had carpet set up for Monday of next week. I just texted the guy this morning, haven't heard back from him. I have to move that back a week because the painter didn't get through. So that being said, we do carpet the week of the 24th. We're probably looking about the middle now of March as far as the movie date.
Okay.
And concrete guy was set up for today, but I talked to him earlier this morning. He wanted to see if he's got that on the right.
Yeah. All right. Anybody any questions?
Thank you.
All right. Do we have any more discussion items?
I do.
Okay.
Winsboro Building.
Do what?
Winsboro Building. We got an electric bill of $232 for a building we're using for anything, I assume. Are we? Anyone using it?
They not going to move there no more?
Put that on the end of the sale. That'd be my
recommendation.
Why was electricity bill so high?
Now that I can't answer.
Good heavens.
Probably had the heat turned on.
So no litter.
I was going to say, I bet the guys bumped the heat up to keep.
I'm good at it, but.
Pops.
I mean, it's just not. Pops from freezing
or nothing. Well, heck, I'm maintaining it and doing it. I'm not using it.
Just an FYI, I mean, we need to probably think about doing something,
that
they are utilizing it or something.
Well, I think somebody might be interested in leasing it out.
Tax it?
Somebody might be living in it now if it's $200 a room.
Mine's running.
Local kitty cat, people are going to bump it up
there. Scott, you need another office?
Which one?
I'm looking at this. Since it's in your precinct, you can have it.
Split my time?
Yeah.
I like where I'm at.
Your Winsboro office?
My Winsboro.
They would shoot me out of where.
Oh, my.
I don't see us leaving the building for anything. My suggestion is to sell it and help pay for this overture we're going to have on our West Annex.
And you might
have to pay for your. So the election's been held over at the church or the library?
For the church.
Church this year.
How do we get into Adam's Hill? There's just a little bit.
Okay, we're waiting on quotes back from Hess and a couple other places on the rain, the convection oven, for the hub. So when we get that, we'll bring the, your order on, because y'all gave us a, an okay up to 9800, I think. We're gonna need to have another meeting with the fire department chiefs in order to get the logistics worked out. So y'all be looking at schedules for that to happen.
Well, can we do that Thursday afternoon? Do we still have time to do it? I think we do, we want to do it by this afternoon, by 4:30, right?
Yes.
Because we're meeting with baseball at 4:30, Thursday afternoon. Because everybody, my wife takes to school, she come out after school, so it's easier for her to do.
So we're gonna do that on Thursday, 4:30?
Yeah.
2S can do it, or, you know, sports can do it Tuesday.
So we have to meet with the fire.
I'd say just go ahead and have them up here too. Would that be all right? Can we do, redo that agenda?
We'll do them first.
Do what?
Put them on first, so we do it before 4:30.
Just say, have them up here.
Started at 3:30, and let the fire department.
Not while we.
Yeah.
So we can say that for 8:00, 3:30, just say, and 4:30
for the baseball.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, it'd work. 3:30. Then we'll just.
The school really don't get out good till after.
Till after 4:30.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah, we'll do the first one, 3:30.
I talked to Kayla, she said she could be here at 4:30.
Okay, as long as.
That's what she told me, so.
Hey, you probably know better.
And she might be a little, which I understand, she might be a little late.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, we'll do that.
But I did talk to her about it.
Okay, that's cool.
We'll do that.
Just a heads up for all the officials, this is the bank year. And we will be sending out proposals for new banks. Our banks, but it will go out sometime, we'll send out the proposals in March. So we'll be back to get authority to advertise.
And now, since Charlie's not here anymore, the ag show or the young farmer show will be the end of March. So y'all be thinking, because I know we've always pitched in and tried to do that too, so.
Charlie always paid mine.
Charlie always paid for y'all.
Charlie paid mine last year too, he said he'd be paying for mine this year.
I'll take care of it.
Mine too.
Such a good man.
All right, anything else?
I just want to let y'all know I dropped the Bible off last week for them to get started on that. And there'll probably be some options, and I will communicate with the judge and Marla and some of the other elected officials on what, once they know exactly what they can do, like with the cover and that kind of stuff.
There ain't much left of the cover.
Well, I know. But they want to preserve, even if they don't put it back on the Bible itself, they want to preserve that cover in some way as well and have some type of display with it. So, and I got to tour their facility. It was very neat to see them actually working on my records while I was there and all of the things that they do to repair and preserve these documents going forward.
Good deal. All right. Anybody else? Sometimes.
Good journey.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
Aye.
Thank y'all. Yeah.